Hello and welcome to Single to Soulmate. I'm Tanya Alberti, spiritual teacher, channel and medium for spirit, and soul-aligned relationships coach and mentor to men, women, and couples who are looking to have rockin' relationships both in and out of the bedroom. I do this by helping you heal the pain of your past, connect to your intuitive awareness, and align with your own soul, thus stepping into the best and highest version of yourself in order to attract that one-of-a-kind soulmate love that you're longing for. Hi again, welcome back. Thank you so much for being here. Today, Erica and I are going to be having a conversation around what it means when you have gone through a spiritual awakening and you are trying to find a partner, a significant other relationship in your life, and you want that person to be understanding of you, be on the same wavelength as you when it comes to spirituality, and having them essentially be kind of on the same journey you are, at the same place you are, so that you can have more fulfillment in your relationship. So we're going to talk about what that really looks like and some of the pitfalls and traps that kind of happen when you place a heavy expectation on being on the same place in your spiritual journey as your partner. So tune in, give it a listen, sit back and relax, and enjoy the conversation. I find that several people that I've talked to, once they've gone through the awakening process, if they're not already partnered and they're looking for that partner, they want somebody to be on the same level as them. And that is tricky, because what you're doing is you're putting those ego expectations on things a little bit. You know, if you're really have gone through an awakening process, part of that awakening is that you see yourself as the epitome of love. I mean, we come from love. So everything around you radiates love. You see the beauty and the love in everything and in everyone. So it's a lot trickier when you are coming from a space of, okay, I see you as a soul. Why aren't you acting and coming from the space of love? Because I see you as a soul. However, you know, you may recognize that natural soul beauty that everybody has, but it might be confusing to you why people are still acting like they're still in their shadow, or they're acting like they're still, you know, in that 3D reality if they haven't gone through an awakening themselves. So it gets tricky when it comes to looking for somebody who's on the same level as you. We kind of fall back into focusing on the differences as opposed to, you know, what you might have in common, even if they aren't necessarily on the same level as you are, or the same awareness, I shouldn't say level, have the same awareness, because that's what awakening is. It's an awareness of a remembrance of who we really are. But when you get into that, oh, they're not this, they're not that, it kind of perpetuates that illusion of separateness. You know what I mean? So it's something that definitely is good to talk about. And I find people are challenged by that too. So they have these expectations of, oh, this is what I want. I want this really deeply spiritual person, and I want them to be this and that and that. And not that you can't have that. Of course you can. But I think when you come to have certain ego limitations, which I think people don't realize that they're doing, but they put some of that ego issue in it. And I think they miss out on really good opportunities a lot of times because they're putting constraints on it. It's almost like you have to have that balance, you know, and it's like, yes, you can have what you want. Yes, you 100% can create the relationship you want based on your desire. However, keeping the ego out of it, because then you put those expectations out there that it has to look a certain way. So it's better if you allow the universe to bring that to you and bring it the way the universe knows is best for you than putting all these constraints on, you know, it has to be a certain way. So definitely have your non-negotiables, but at the same time, there has to be room for allowing involved, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. So like, in my personal point of view, I don't really have huge requirement on my partner to be spiritually awakened. I don't really expect my future partner to meditate with me and go to spiritual whatever event with me. If he's open enough to come with me, that's fine. But he is not, that's fine. At least I want him to be interested in me. So he's like curious about what I do, open-minded enough to listening what I have to say. But that doesn't mean he's like a spiritually awakened. You know what I mean? To me, like my left side of brain part of myself is still there. So I don't really expect like in general guy to be spiritually so awakened. And my requirement is more of like successful in business over like spiritually awakened, or like me physically attracted to him versus his spiritually awakened. So my requirement is totally different from client or people I came across. But what I tell them is, you know, as long as he's open enough to try what you're interested in, be patient, because in general, I haven't really met, well, I just came across with one client. He's more spiritually awakened than his partner. But in general, like, I haven't really came across with a guy, straight guy, who is spiritually awakened. Like, it's very, like, small, like, percentage of them. Some of them, like matrix energetic seminar and the stuff like that, they do come, but they usually like their wife or girlfriend tag them along with them, because they are the one who are interested in doing this kind of stuff, and they came along. So like, even those seminar, like we had like what, 300 people, I wasn't really looking for the partner because I have my ex. But in general, like, I heard other people saying, oh yeah, we can really find a single guy from this kind of event. And some of the single ladies are looking for a single guy like themselves, and hopefully to meet a partner like that, you know. Some of them are single, but they're like 17 or something, so that's out of the, you know, out of the talk. And then younger generation people become, of course, they're more open to spiritual thing because they are more awakened to begin with from their birth. But to me, again, it's really important to list what you cannot budge. And then if spirituality is like really, really top list of your five must have, then I guess, but I don't know if most people that is a must have requirement, like he has to be the same level as I am, like, you know. I feel like being open-minded is very important toward a partner.
Yeah, I 150% agree with you. Because here's the thing. I mean, you can be awake spiritually. It doesn't necessarily mean it that you're not going to have an amazing, incredible love relationship with somebody just because they're not spiritually awake or they're not on the same level as you, whatever you want to call it. Because personally, I can tell you for a fact, my husband has not gone through a spiritual awakening, and we have a beautiful relationship. You know, we're compatible. He's all the things I've ever wanted. We get along. He's my best friend. We literally never fight, hardly ever. I could probably count on one hand how many times in 15 years we've had an argument, but, we disagree, but we have a very healthy relationship. You know, we can disagree and have it be a healthy disagreement. We respect each other. We understand each other's love language. You know, I mean, we just get along really, really well. And The thing is, I think once you've gone through a spiritual awakening, you can appreciate people's differences when they show up for you in those relationships, and you can appreciate what they have to offer. It doesn't mean that they have to be like this guru who meditates on a mountain every day. You know what I mean? He understands me. He gets me. And that's what a soulmate is. It's somebody who gets you and understands you on that spiritual heart-to-heart level. It doesn't mean necessarily that they have to be uber spiritual, because he's not. I mean, my husband understands a little bit, because we've had multiple conversations about this. He knows I talk to spirit. He knows I talk to my spirit guides. He knows I talk to his spirit guides. Does he fully understand and comprehend it? No, but that's okay, because he honors the fact that I do that. He honors the fact that he honors my connection to spirit, but he doesn't understand it. But that doesn't interfere in our relationship. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't have to be this person I can have. I mean, I can talk to him and have deep spiritual conversations, but it doesn't mean he always necessarily gets it, because he hasn't had that awakening. And that's okay. You know, he still is exactly what I want as far as a partner goes, right? So you don't have to force them into a way of being, right? You can accept them exactly where they are in the moment, knowing that we all change and grow over time, and you can accept that as well. So finding a partner who's in that same space, that doesn't necessarily mean that is something that is going to be, what am I trying to say? Finding somebody in the same space as you doesn't mean that that's going to solve all the problems, right? It's more important to find somebody that complements you, that gets you, that understands you, that's willing to grow and evolve with you. Because the thing is, relationships evolve, people evolve. Nothing is stagnant ever in this universe. We never are stagnant. We are always moving, changing, growing. So, when it comes to being on a spiritual path, it's great to hear about people who are connected with their partners, their spouses in that spiritual way, but it doesn't mean that it's not necessary. It doesn't have to be like, I have to be, I've been through a spiritual awakening, therefore my partner has to be as awake as I am. No, because you know what? My partner is not. And we've been together going on 15 years, and I'm saying right now, we have a beautiful, fulfilling, loving relationship. And does he understand everything when it comes to spirituality? No. But you know what? It doesn't matter, because he loves me from the space that he is able to love me. And I can see the changes and growth in him. And my guides have even told me that his mission in this life is not to go through awakening, that he is supporting me in my business and in my journey, and that's his role. So there are plenty of people who aren't going to wake up in this lifetime, and that's okay, because it's more important to honor people where they're at in their own journey than it is to be obsessed with, you have to be this, you have to be that. Because I think you miss a lot of opportunities when you put restrictions on things. It's kind of like, when it comes to like what I tell my clients, make a list of what you want in a person. Can you manifest your ideal partner? Absolutely, I believe that you can. But I think we do ourselves a disservice when we like hold fast to that, saying there's no wiggle room. It has to look exactly like this, or I don't want it. Be open to the universe delivering something to you that's even better than you can imagine. So I use the list loosely. Like, make a list of your general things that you want. Make a list of, yes, this is, I would love to have somebody who makes me feel special. I would love to be with somebody who understands me, who can relate to me on an emotional level, that heart-to-heart connection. That is way more important than where they are on their spiritual journey. We are all at different phases in our spiritual growth, and we're continuing to evolve and grow. So there's never going to be anybody who's exactly at the same place as you at the same time, in the same moment, because it's just, I mean, I'm sure there are, but if you subscribe to the fact that you've got to find somebody
100% exactly where you are, you're really going to limit the availability of the universe to deliver something to you that's incredible and amazing, because, you know, you're looking at the population. There's how many billions of people on the planet. And it's much better to come from that perspective of who is going to make me feel loved? Who's going to be fulfilling? Who's going to, you know, make me laugh? Who's going to understand me? Who's going to be there for me? Those are much more important qualities, I think, personally, than somebody who is going to be like, okay, I get up every day and I meditate and then we connect and we, you know, pull tarot cards together. And we, I mean, whatever it is that you desire is fine, but just don't hold to that so tightly that you miss opportunities for something amazing, because the universe is always going to be like, let me show you something that's going to blow your mind. That's even better than you can imagine. But you have to allow yourself to be open and available to that. And when we hold ourselves to these ideals that it has to look a certain way, we limit what the universe can bring us. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, that's 100% correct. Because everybody, to me, like my thing I cannot budge is he has to be attractive to me. Like, physical attraction is important to me because that's something you can fake. Like, that's from my own experience. I've been with someone I wasn't quite attracted to, and I tried to love him, but it was kind of impossible, you know? Like, when you're having relationship or marriage, it goes long time, you know? I mean, it's a very long-term relationship. And then when you are going to have a happy relationship, especially, you know, male, they need to have physical intimacy. And if, you know, in my case, if I'm not attracted to a guy physically, it's impossible for me to put that as a priority, you know, because I have plenty of things I want to do. So as long as I'm attracted to him, you know, he's going to be happy, you know. But if he doesn't, so like, that is, in my case, it's one of the top priority. I mean, when you means, you know, people try to have a requirement on their husband or their partner, they require him to fulfill everything you wanted from other person other than yourself. It's kind of impossible. So, like, you know, something you cannot replace with your friends, like, you know, sexual intimacy, you can do that. But other part, like, you know, I hear some of my friends are saying, oh, you know, my husband isn't really outgoing, like, don't really enjoy going out and do stuff. If that is my case, I just going to have fun with my friends. I don't really expect my husband to do that. I may ask him like once in a while, like maybe special holiday or special time. I may want to do something special together. But if you are the kind of person who doesn't want to do that or too tired to do that, I don't really require for him to do that if he's not that kind of person. So it's a good idea to have like huge wiggle room, because there is a differences. Like, even with my ex, like, he loved to watch news. He was watching news every day. And then, you know, when TV is on, I get huge, horrible vibration from TV. And when it comes to news, it's extremely uncomfortable for me. But that is the differences. But it didn't really make me feel like, oh, I want to break up with him because he loves news. You know, that's not the point. Like, there's a difference between you and your partner. And then you kind of cherish the differences instead of try to change the person, you know? And that's what partnership is about. Like, when you are getting along with person, your partner, you don't really require other person to change. And if he or she wants to change or, you know, include whatever new habit or new hobby or something, like, they will decide. You know, I really didn't want to watch news with him. So when he started watching news, like, I'm going to go do something else. That's what I have my own things I can accomplish. So it doesn't have to be like, oh, you know, you got to do everything together. Or it's just the togetherness thing is another thing I have an issue with. Because just because you are a partner or just because you get married, you don't have to be together and do things 24/7 like conjoined twins. It's like suffocating. I feel like when each person do have their own individual life, yeah, you're married, but you can have your individual life and individual things with your friends and stuff. That doesn't mean you can cheat on your partner. You don't, because there's a trust and there's a, you know, strong connection. But you can do your own things. If, let's say, your husband, he doesn't like travel overseas, you can go travel overseas with your girlfriend, you know. So if you kind of like, I mean, the minimum thing, like, as long as he understands you and is supportive of you, like, all other things you can do with other people, you know, then you don't really have to have a 30 list or 50 list of like, oh, my future husband or my partner has to be this way and that way.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the whole thing. It's those kind of constraints and limitations that we put on things. So, I mean, when it comes to finding partnership and you've been through a spiritual awakening, fine. How do you define spirituality? So I look at this and I think, okay, these people, and I've had this with many of my clients, you know, they're like, I asked them, what to you look, you know, what does a spiritual man look like to you? And they're like, oh, well, you know, they wake up in their day and they meditate, they connect with spirit, they have their organic green juice for breakfast, they go to hot yoga. You know, they stop at Whole Foods later for some organic, healthy thing. Then they maybe go to Soul Cycle class, and then they read Deepak Chopra. You know, all of these things, they're just things. You know, look at where you're coming from in that perspective. It's a lot of judgment, right? You're judging what you think is a spiritual, quote-unquote, partner. And when you ask them to define what a spiritual partner looks like, you know, they say all these things and they like tick off these boxes. But when it comes down to kindness, compassion, and service, none of those things have anything to do with finding love, kindness, compassion, generosity. Just because you get up and go to Whole Foods in the morning and have your green drink has nothing to do with love, compassion, and kindness, you know? So, I mean, what do you want? I think ultimately people want not spirituality, they want consciousness. A conscious person lives their life on purpose. They don't have to meditate. They don't have to do yoga. They don't have to drink green tea or even have heard of Deepak Chopra, right? But they're kind. You know, they may be doing something of service, whether it's, you know, coaching Little League or volunteering at their favorite charity. The thing is, they want to devote their life to your happiness. And that's what's key. It doesn't matter what they do. You know, and when you get wrapped up in thinking of what they should be doing, it's like shitting on yourself, shitting on them. You know, they should be meditating. They should be doing yoga. They should be doing this or that, whatever. You know, that doesn't make you spiritual. Just because you're doing all these things doesn't mean you're spiritual. You could go through the motions and do those things. It doesn't mean you're any closer to the divine in your awareness than the next person. So what it means by being conscious is by managing your thoughts, managing your beliefs, managing your emotions. And when you start to do that sort of thing, you kind of open yourself up more to love and to awareness and to patience with other people, because you start to recognize that we are all coming to this life with core wounds. You know, we are inheriting beliefs from our ancestors, from our parents, from other people, from society, and that, you know, we're not perfect. We're here engaging in life for a variety of reasons, learning different things, understanding different things about ourselves. So, I mean, the nature of that kind of relationship is that that person is willing to see you for who you are and see the world for who it is. It doesn't mean they have to be going through this, you know, massive understanding of, oh, I get, you know, the dimensionality of the world around me, and I understand that I'm connected to my guidance and this and that. It doesn't have to look like that. It's something that we put constraints on, you know, because we assume that it has to look a certain way, but it really doesn't. I mean, ultimately, what matters? What does it really matter? What matters is that I'm with somebody who loves me. I'm with somebody who understands me. I'm with somebody who is willing to move with me through life. I'm with somebody who's willing to understand that I'm not perfect, that I'm evolving, that I'm growing, and they're willing to grow and evolve with me in this journey of life, in this three-dimensional reality, knowing that we're moving towards higher consciousness. I mean, it doesn't have to look a certain way. And I think too many people limit themselves with the expectation that it has to look and fit into a certain box. And I think that in of itself is doing a disservice.
Yeah, definitely. And then understanding you doesn't mean, you know, when you have certain way of speech or thing you're thinking about or whatever the thing you do in speech or practice, he understands you. That's not what we are talking about. He understands you that to he knows that's important to you. So he respects that. Or he watches, you know, if he's like he's with person like me who makes content, he tries to watch it. Doesn't mean he understands 100% what I'm saying, but he shows interest and watch it. That's to me like a good enough definition of understand you. Like this tryingness doesn't mean you have to understand everything you're thinking of. I mean, it is very tiring when your partner is, let's say, as spiritually awakened as you are, and he happened to have a totally different point of view and has very strong opinion, and you have to talk about that all the time. It's extremely tiring. I mean, that's my point of view. And then plus, your world is very narrow. If he is in very different kind of place, and he brings what he does, and then that's very interesting because it's different. Even like a lot of successful people I have spoken to, you don't think those people are spiritual, but they are. Doesn't mean they do a meditation or spiritual practice, but when they talk about their wisdom, they're completely connected with higher self or divine, but they're not really aware of it. To me, that's spiritual enough, even though they're not awakened. Or, you know, how people treat other person, right? If they treat other people like, regardless of their credentials, they treat everybody really nicely. That's spiritual, you know? So he doesn't have to really understand your spiritual theory or whatever, the book you're reading or whatever, like all these details of spirituality, but he is kind of like excited that you love, this is what you're doing. You enjoy, this is what you are enjoying. And then maybe, you know, he shows curiosity to say, hey, I want to like try, not like he's going to try to be spiritual. That's not what he's looking for, but just do the activity together, right? That kind of stuff is like, to me, the partnership. And you do the same thing. Not necessarily you want to read like some economic magazine to become as knowledgeable as he is, or like stock market or something, but that's something you show interest in what he does. And then it's the same way, like you try to see what other person is interested in and show the interest. To me, that's what partnership is all about. And then that's what I tell my client to, like Tonya is saying, broaden your horizon. And this is coming from someone who had a 27 list of like requirement, which my first husband ticked all boxes, by the way, and we didn't work out. So the point is, it's not about to tick the boxes. Like, you do have a minimum requirement, but that minimum requirement is not like very specific, you know, like, yeah, he has to be attractive. If that is your box, I do have a more specifics of what I feel attractive, but I don't really put that in my box, because you can broaden the range of physical attractiveness wider than my specific, right? If other part of the personality or how he treat people and stuff like that fits, like it doesn't have to be exactly this way and that way. So it's really important to, one, you have to understand what you're looking for, but be flexible. It doesn't have to be that, you know, like I'm talking about specific, you know, like height has to be this, or oh, he has to work in this kind of industry, that kind of thing. It doesn't have to be that narrow, because it's hard to find someone who is single and spiritual and tick all these boxes. How many person is like fitting in that, right? Think about that and use your left brain and think about that. So have requirement, but like not 10, maybe 5, like 5 minimum requirement. And then that is even broad requirement. A must, but not like, oh yeah, hair color has to be this way, or not like that, you know. Then you can kind of look at the overall personality when you're dating, overall like compatibility with how you guys are jamming with each other.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. I mean, I love the law of attraction, and I love people when they're like, this is what I want, and I want it to be specific. That's all fine and good. But I would challenge people when they are creating this vision of what it is that they desire. Don't focus on the minutiae, you know, and I think that's what people tend to do. You know, it's like, I want a car, and I want it to be red, and I want it to be a Lexus, and I want it to look like this and this and this. Okay, that's amazing. Yes, visualize that. But when it comes to relationships, I think it's more important to focus on how you want to feel. How do you want to feel? You know, yes, I want somebody I'll be physically attracted to, of course, because that's important. I want somebody who's going to be a certain way. Yes, that's important. But ultimately, what's more important than all of that is how you feel. Do you want to feel supported? Do you want to feel loved? Do you want to have humor in your relationship? You know, what kind of qualities are you looking for of how you want to experience? What's the experience you want to have? Now, I mean, I could be with fucking David Beckham. Yeah, he's hot and all that, but there may be nothing beyond that. There may be nothing beyond the surface. We could have no connection. That doesn't mean anything to me then. then why would I want that kind of relationship? If it's only based on, you know, superficial things that are, you know, qualities of like, oh, he dresses a certain way, he talks a certain way, he acts a certain way. Well, that's all fine and good, but how much connection do we have? So I'm not saying you can't have both. You absolutely can have both. But what I'm saying is don't just focus on those things. Focus on how you want to feel. How do you want to feel? What does that relationship that you want, what does it look like? Personally, for me, I want connection. I want ease. I want laughter. I want to feel that kind of connection that makes me feel like we're reading each other's thoughts. I want to be on the same page all the time. I want to be going in the same direction. I mean, these are all really important things. You know, when you think about it, you know, you can have all the kinds of attractive qualities in somebody, but they're maybe have different life goals. You know, I would like to have something that's similar so that we're going in the same direction because things are always changing. We're always evolving and growing. So I want to be with somebody I'm going to grow together with rather than grow apart with. If that makes sense.
It's completely makes sense. Like, I'm going to like give you guys example. Like, the other day I kind of matched with someone and he was generally attractive, but I didn't really look at the profile, like the detailistic profile. Like if you fit this credential, don't reply me or whatever. So he's the one who approached me and I said, well, like, you know, whatever his stuff he wrote was pretty much similar to what I was writing. So I wasn't really looking at like details, but he was like, if you want a Trump fan, no, if you are Trump supporter, don't even require to contact me. So I was like, okay. First of all, and he works on TV basically. So I felt like, okay, unless you met the person and know the person, what I don't understand is how can you hate someone so passionately if you never met someone? Based on like third party information, you don't really know the person, right? I can read the vibration of the person, so that's a different kind of story. But like, that's, so I was telling him, hey, I don't really think it's a good idea to have a conversation anymore. And then he was like, because I read your profile. And then he was like, I hope you are not Trump supporter like me, like whatever he wrote about that. And I was like, well, this is the exact reason, like, you know, good luck to finding your partner. And to me, I'm not a political person, but something like that, I can see like it's going to become a huge cause of argument, you know, after you get married, because people do argue the differences. And then some people are extremely passionate about politics. Some people are extremely passionate about the religion. I'm not passionate about anything. I'm not political, but, you know, if someone is that much into something, like, you can see the cause of the trouble. And then before you even spend your time to meet someone, because once you meet someone, what you're doing is you're going to be emotionally start investing in them, even 1% or 0.1%. And that's totally waste of your time. So it's a good idea to understand that. Of course, you have to have a huge, wiggle room to create the adjustment. But something like when people are passionate about politics or religion, it's very difficult to create harmonious relationship, especially the other person is not awakening. And if the other person is spiritually awakening, a person it's not generally that political, you know, or religious. Means spiritual and religious, these are differences, you know, and then it's very difficult to find a peaceful coexisting life if the other person gets so fired up on something which got nothing to do with your everyday life to begin with. And something like that, it's kind of a important to have a similar point of view, so at least you don't go into that kind of argument.
Yeah, and I think one thing that I want to bring up is the understanding that we are here and now. You know, I think a lot of the spiritual community, and I've been guilty of this myself from time to time, but a lot of the spiritual community is so hyper-focused on, oh, we're going through ascension. Oh, I can't wait to get to 5D. Oh, what about life on other planets? And oh, what about my soul and my past lives and this stuff? Don't get me wrong. I think all of that holds value. I work with my clients individually when they have issues, looking at past life things, working in their Akashic records, working on, you know, what can we do to bring about healing? But ultimately, when it comes down to it, be present. Be now. Be here. We are here for a reason. And I think a lot of people in the spiritual community are so hung up on the fact that, oh, you know, I want to ascend. I want to be with somebody who's on the same ascension path. You know, I want somebody who's going to be this or that or whatever. The ultimate thing is that we are here. We're here now. Be now and enjoy the moment now. Understand that yes, these are all goals. They're all things we would like to attain. We are infinite beings. We have eternity. Eternity. This is just one experience. This is one lifetime. We're present where we're at right now. But as you look at the world around you, you know, people are so hung up on, oh my God, there's this, there's that. And people get so freaked out by all these things. And it's like, okay, yeah, well, it's a thing. But, you know, understanding that we are so much more in control than we realize, you know, choose a different timeline, work towards what it is that you desire. You are the one that's most important. The end all be all of life is not to find a partner. That is not the end all be all of existence. What's important for you in this lifetime is to understand who you are, to evolve and grow as a soul, to ascend into more consciousness. It's all about consciousness. It's not about relationships 100% with being with somebody who you think is your soulmate. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love working with people to find their soulmate. Yes, it's important. Yes, it makes your life and your purpose here on earth while you're here super fulfilling. But that is not the goal. Your goal is not to ultimately find your life partner. Your goal is to grow and evolve as a soul, to know yourself more, to become more conscious. That's the goal. And if you could do that with somebody who gets you, who supports you, who understands you as you move through life, yes, it could be enjoyable. And who doesn't want love and connection? You know, because we come from love. We are love at our core. The essence of source of the universe is love. So that love and awareness is something we all desire because that's what we come from. You know, like attracts like. We are that at our essence. So of course we want that. And it's beautiful and it's amazing. Of course it is. But that is not the ultimate achievement. So what I'm saying is that, you know, be yourself. Be who you are. Embody your soul. Embody the essence of who you are as a spiritual divine being. And I really firmly believe that once you learn to love yourself, once you learn to know and appreciate who you are as that divine aspect of yourself, that the perfect complement, the perfect relationship, the perfect friendships, the perfect job, the perfect everything in this reality is automatically attracted to you because you know who you are. You're embracing that divine essence of you. So it's not about who can I be partnered with. Yeah, it's beautiful and amazing. And of course, it's a wonderful thing to want. I'm not saying it's wrong. Of course not. But what's more important is understanding who you are at soul level, being connected with your own soul, that source, the I am presence that is you. And once you understand that, I'm telling you, that perfect relationship, the perfect everything, just kind of falls into place because it's all about attracting to you what you already are. But if you don't know who you already are as that divine essence, it's a lot harder because you've got this programming and all these things in place that are kind of limiting beliefs that are holding you back from that ultimate happiness, joy, fulfillment, bliss, all of these things that they talk about on the spiritual journey. So it's just something to think about.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, when you know who you are clearly, you know what kind of person your minimum five and must list. It's so easy to write about because you know who you are. So if you know who you are, you know what kind of person is, you know, for you to be compatible with. So he doesn't have to be perfect. He doesn't have to be spiritually even awakened to be compliment and be the life partner, be your husband, stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Catherine, how are you? Welcome to the stage. Happy Tuesday.
Hi, guys. yeah, I guess in relation to what you were saying about your spiritual awakening, with all the research I've done just on my own through all kinds of people and videos and stuff, there seems to be not a lot of more information on the actual truth of this awakening, that it actually takes years. Especially as the older you get, right? Because part of this awakening is dissolving all your belief systems that were indoctrinated in you, really. And I just find that the spiritual awakening itself is, it's not something that happens over like a couple months. It's a lot of two steps forward, one step back, and then having the strength to keep going on, even though you might not see any changes physically around you. It's just more of an inner knowing that you have to keep going. And that going can take a very long time. And I think that can be very overwhelming when you start trying to find a partner, because in a sense, on one hand, the spiritual community is saying, well, you won't be able to attract this healthy individual until you are at this point, which is also a belief system that I don't know who makes that up. But to me, it's just as you raise your consciousness, you are also raising your vibe, I guess you can say, which then therefore you should be emanating other similar people to you. How you go find these other people, I don't know, because you talking, Erica, about your online experience with that guy, you're so nice. I would have been just cutthroat with someone like that. I would have been like, I wouldn't have been nice to him. I would have put him in his place. I would have took it as a challenge, and I don't know. So again, this online stuff, I know I'm not ready for, but again, I just think the spiritual community is, they don't always tell the truth so much. They kind of, maybe not the truth, but it's a painful experience. And there's many dark night of the souls. It takes a long time. It's kind of like a diet is the best way to describe it. You know, no one tells you that when you go on a diet that it's monotonous, it's boring, you're doing a lot of the same shit, you're not really seeing any results, but you know you still have to keep going, because in the long term, you will. And it would just be nice that people would be more forthright, because I only started my spiritual awakening a couple years ago. And I don't have it stuck in my head that there's this time limit. I think it's eternal until I'm dead. So how I find my spiritual partner, I think there are going to be many spiritual partners, because as every time I raise my consciousness, there's going to be more and more people that I attract that are the same. Whether or not I get to stay with them, I don't know. But yeah, I just think that should be talked about more, that it's actually a very long journey And it can be very painful, and it can be very monotonous and boring and a lot of unknowns. And they just don't talk about that. They always just talk about the end result, right?
That's a great perspective. And then if you are open to it, I would recommend to do Steve Noble meditation. He does a meditation about letting go of connecting with growing yourself, expanding yourself through pain and suffering to joy and having fun, which is pretty effective. So I highly recommend you to do that. And yeah, you know, every relationship or even dating, sometimes it's temporary, because unless you have a soul contract with this person to spend your life, you know, rest of your life with, even you're dating, the last guy I dated, he was super hot. He had a lot of quality I was looking for. But like, he didn't have the one of a must quality, which I found out 3 months later I was looking for. So I broke up with him. But the whole point is that experience was fun, you know. So when we are dating, it's something we're going to find your person. And then you have to kind of kiss a couple of frogs along the way. So it's like, it's a good idea to even have enjoyable experience. And then I think even it's a temporary, it's the soul contract you had with that person. And then when you finish your complete your soul contract, that might be 3 months, that could be 2 weeks, right? But whole point when you meet the person, your dating person, or even like whatever, you're chatting online and having a really great time, that is some kind of connection and some kind of contract. So it's a good idea to cherish that moment and see where it goes.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, that's the whole point. It's a journey. There is no like end point destination. And I think a lot of people get hung up on the fact that, you know, when I'm enlightened, when I've gone through my growth and my journey, and when I finally make it, you know, we're so conditioned on Earth in this 3D reality to have a destination, an end point. I think if people would relax back into the fact that this is an experience. You know, we're going through certain experiences that our soul wanted to have as we incarnated on this earth. We're incarnated in multiple places at multiple times. Everything is happening now, you know, and it's not a destination. It's about really experiencing the fullness of what we can while we're here. So, yeah, at times it's hard. At times it's challenging. At times it sucks. At times it's super joyful. You know, it's all an experience. You know, we get so caught up in the idea that there's some place to get to. There really isn't. You know, we're all just here to understand who we are. So we take on different roles. We put ourselves into different characters. We put ourselves in different avatars, in different plays, in different roles, in different dreams, all just to kind of have that experience of, oh, what's this like? What's it like to be this? What's it like to be this kind of person on this planet? Was it kind of like to be, you know, Tanya on planet Earth in the 2020s? What's that experience like? It's all really just to have an understanding and awareness of, what am I? Who am I? Who am I as God? Who am I as Source? Who am I as a soul? I mean, really, that's what it's all about. And we put these constraints on, it has to look a certain way, it has to be a certain way. I have to get somewhere. I have to do something. I have to be somewhere. The whole essence of it is that we are here to be, to experience. There is ultimately no doing. You know, the third dimensional duality puts that on us that we have to do things to get anywhere. You know, but ultimately, it's about being. We are human beings. We're not human doings. So that's just something I wanted to share because it's, I think we get so wrapped up in that because, you know, we get, you know, distracted by the illusion that's around us. And that's it. We are an illusion. This is a dream. We are characters in a play. This is not who we are.
Yeah, 100%. And then, you know, once we set the intention to, let's say, have joy, what kind of a joyful experience I can have today? Like, when you decide something like that, and then choose everything based on that, right? And then even your outside environment seems like the same like before, it's a totally different experience, right? So when you choose, let's say, I'm going to choose everything from the point of view of joy, then when you become joy vibration, and then you will attract someone who fits that. And if you decided to be happy, because happiness is a decision, and then when you choose everything based on if this make me happy, and then you are happy, then you end up attracting someone who you feel happy to be with. So it's kind of exactly like be first, and then result or whatever it is will be appear, and that how it works.
My last party comment I would like to say is that, you know, ultimately we are always creating our reality. We are here having an experience as a soul and a physical being. This earth, this 3D reality is not all there is. It is a projection of one dimension. There's so much more out there. And when you get hung up on the minutia of everyday life, you know, I think we really limit ourselves to the possibilities. So I would just say, stay open, stay aware, stay connected to your own divine self, and you'll be amazed at what you can experience while you're here on earth. So that's pretty much all I had to say. Erica, what do you want to say before we wrap up?
My last word is make a decision what kind of vibration you want to be. If you want to be joy, choose everything based on that. And then see if anything different will come to your world eventually. And, you know, that's the attitude. And then 5D reality is all about the being. It's not going to somewhere else. So.
Perfect. Thank you so much. It's been great to be here. Thanks, Erica.
So that about wraps things up for today's episode. Thank you so much for sticking around and tuning in. And I just want to share with you something exciting I've got going on. I am launching my new program. It is a 6-month journey, which is the longest I've done, and I'm super excited about it. And it is called How to Rely on Spirit. And this is for those of you who are really looking to learn to depend on spirit with full trust and confidence. So it's going to involve learning, like, what does it really mean to rely on spirit? How do you receive your divine guidance? Why is it even important to do that? And how would your life shift for you if you did? And spirit is that divine, infinite intelligence, the source of all that is. It's the I am presence of which your soul is just a tiny little piece. And your soul knows everything about you, your struggles, your desires, your purpose. And connecting with your own inner divine spirit not only gives you wisdom and guidance, but it really helps you get into the state of flow with more synchronicity and joy in your life, which is what you want if you're looking to attract that relationship you're after. So if you're really ready to level up your life, then this is for you. There's going to be channeled content unique to each individual person's journey, practical exercises to open your intuitive awareness. We do past life and between lives exploration so you can find out who you are, why you're here, why you have issues, and how to resolve those issues. You learn how to access your Akashic records, how to really clearly tune into your own guidance, how to trust your guidance, and so much more. There's going to be weekly Zoom calls. There'll be homework assignments, practical applications. I'm just so excited for this because it's going to be amazing. And Spirit has been nudging me to do this, to teach this. So if this is something you're interested in, I would love for you to reach out to me. You can email me at info@tanyaalberti.com, or you can go over to Instagram and shoot me a message there in my DMs. My Instagram tag is @IAM_TanyaAlberti. We're going to be launching a new program on May 1st. So again, if you're interested and this really resonates with you, if it sounds like this is your jam and it's something that you feel that you need in your life and your own spirit is nudging you to do this, please reach out to me. There is an interview process, just so I can kind of get a sense for where you're at on your spiritual journey, what you're experiencing, what you've gone through, how tuned in you are into your intuition already, those sort of things. So go on over to my Instagram. I have a link in my bio where you can schedule that interview. And I hope to see you there. It's going to be amazing. So thank you so much for being here, for sticking around. I hope you enjoyed the episode and I hope you found it valuable. It's my honor to serve you in this way and I always look forward to it. So I will see you next time. Have a wonderful day. Take care. Welcome to Single to Soulmate. I'm Tanya Alberti, spiritual teacher, channel and medium for spirit, and soul-aligned relationships coach and mentor to men, women, and couples who are looking to have rockin' relationships both in and out of the bedroom. I do this by helping you heal the pain of your past, connect to your intuitive awareness, and align with your own soul, thus stepping into the best and highest version of yourself in order to attract that one-of-a-kind soulmate love that you're longing for. Welcome to Single to Soulmate. I'm Tanya Alberti, spiritual teacher, channel and medium for spirit, and soul-aligned relationships coach and mentor to men, women, and couples who are looking to have rockin' relationships both in and out of the bedroom. I do this by helping you heal the pain of your past, connect to your intuitive awareness, and align with your own soul, thus stepping into the best and highest version of yourself in order to attract that one-of-a-kind soulmate love that you're longing for. Welcome to Single to Soulmate. I'm Tanya Alberti, spiritual teacher, channel and medium for spirit, and soul-aligned relationships coach and mentor to men, women, and couples who are looking to have rockin' relationships both in and out of the bedroom. I do this by helping you heal the pain of your past, connect to your intuitive awareness, and align with your own soul, thus stepping into the best and highest version of yourself in order to attract that one-of-a-kind soulmate love that you're longing for.